Jesus, I will also keep you, what's that word? From, EK in the Greek, from what? The hour of trial, which shall come upon how much of the world? The whole world, and look at the reason, to test those who dwell on the earth.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, and thank you so much for tuning in. Pastor Bill continues his study of the New Testament book of Revelation today with the conclusion to the message, The Church Caught Up. Let's listen in.
10 times, I believe it's used, if I recall, and I could be wrong on that, 10 times in Revelation, they all point to whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're not saved. They're not citizens of heaven. So the hour of trial, that testing that's coming upon the whole earth, again, that's the time of Jacob's trouble, loved one. It's not about the church. It's about Israel. It's from Revelation 6 through 19 again, that seven-year period called the Great Tribulation Period. Jesus gave us one verse about the horror of that time. Let me read it to you. Matthew 24:21. Jesus said, "For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no ever shall be." That verse right there proves the preterist wrong. Did you know that? Because that has not happened yet. Now, so Jesus does something. In 3:10 of Revelation, he gives an explicit, truthful, incredible promise concerning the hour of trial. And he gives it, so out of the seven churches, he only gives it to the church of Philadelphia. And that promise, I will keep you from, ek, E-K in the Greek. That word means out of, completely, or from. Now, the post-trib people, and we love them, okay? But listen, they see verse 10 as a promise of immunity during the Great Tribulation time. In other words, somehow God's going to preserve them. But that's not what Jesus says. Are we due the wrath of God? No, let me give you the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not, that word not is, did not is emphatic in the Greek. It means he did not appoint us to go through any part of the Great Tribulation period. He did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we believe, and we teach, and I teach, Calvary's chapels teach that we're pre-trib. In other words, we're going to be removed before the Great Tribulation period. So we're going to be removed from the hour of trial. But now listen carefully. Verse 10 that I just read, 3:10, it doesn't describe the rapture. It describes the result of the rapture. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, whenever, boy, that great tribulation breaks out, the Antichrist and all those things, man, that are going to be taking place. Now, the church has to be removed before the great tribulation period. If it's not, do you know that then the man of sin or the Antichrist, he can't be revealed. Did you know that? Okay, so we know that the Bible teaches, first of all, remember the Thessalonians, they were so shook up, they thought the day of the Lord had happened, and Paul tells them, oh man, listen, the day of the Lord hasn't happened because first, he says, first thing has to happen before the day of the Lord is there has to be that great falling away. In other words, where the church, the apostate church comes forth and they fall away from the truth of God. And he says, that's going to occur first. He says, and then, when that happens, the Antichrist will be revealed. And until then, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2:6-8, it tells us that there's something restraining the Antichrist and all the things that are happening. Let me read it to you. Paul says, and you know what is restraining or hindering or preventing that he, meaning the Antichrist, the man of sin, Revelation chapter 6, it says, may be revealed in his own time. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Here it comes. Only he who now restrains or hinders or prevents will do so until He is taken out of the way. Now, the Holy Spirit's not taken away. It's taken out of the way. And the reason it's taken out of the way is because the church has been removed. Does that make sense? Now, after that happens, and he says, and then when that restraint is lifted, he says, oh, and then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the second coming. So that one verse I just read covers the seven-year career of the demonic Antichrist until he is overthrown at the second coming of Christ. Now listen, there is a huge difference. When I was a baby Christian, when I would read about the book of Revelation, I just thought, I'm going to get my head cut off. Do you understand? I'm going to die. I mean, I can't. And then when you, back then, you know, in the 60s and the 70s, remember The Left Behind or whatever it was, and oh my gosh, and you, horrible actors, but you, it didn't matter, you know, and you were just terrified, you know, and all that. And I just thought, okay, I don't know what's going on. I'm just a stupid baby Christian, you know, or whatever, and so forth. But listen, then you start growing and you learn. When you keep studying your scriptures, you learn that there is a huge difference between the second coming and the catching away, or what we call the rapture of the church. Remember Jesus. He is in his upper room. He's with his disciples. And he tells them, he says, okay, I'm getting ready to go away. I'm going back to the Father. And the disciples go, well, where are you going? We want to go with you. And Jesus said, well, where I'm going, you can't come right now, but you can come later. And they go, you know, they're all upset. Their hearts are broken. And in John 14, 1, Jesus looks at them and he says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have not told you. Now listen carefully. So Jesus looks at them. He's in the upper room. He's already washed the disciples' feet, remember? He has not gone to the cross. He's been betrayed by Judas already. And Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. I go. But first, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be put in the tomb. I'm going to rise from the dead, and I'm going to ascend to the Father. So he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And here it is. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Present tense. I will come again and receive you to myself. That's future tense. That where I am, heaven, ye may be also. Now, when will that happen? Well, that's the best kept secret in the universe, isn't it? But yeah, what did Jesus tell us in Matthew 24:36? Oh, but that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:44, Jesus says, but therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, the catching away of the church is a divine mystery, loved one. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, I do not want you to be what? Ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. Someone said that's the largest Christian denomination in America, the ignorant brethren. I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, about what? Concerning those who have fallen asleep, meaning they've died. Now, meaning this word asleep only refers to the physical body. The spirit, our spirit, is eternal. Okay, all right. He says, those that have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, when we lose those we love, of course we grieve and we cry and weep and so forth, you know, but we do not sorrow like those who have no hope, loved one, because we know what happens when those in Christ, when they go to sleep, when they depart this life, right? 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord, amen? For if, or since, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Man, those who have departed, the departed believers. They're not dead. Why? Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. Amen? He who believeth in me shall never die. Hey, never die. No, we're in the Lord, man. He says here, for this we say to you, the word of the Lord, He says that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The believers who've already departed and gone to heaven, but their bodies are asleep in the cemetery, okay? For the Lord himself will descend with a what? Shout. And with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and look what happens, and the dead in Christ, those in the cemeteries all over the world, look, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. They will receive at the rapture their glorified bodies, their spirit goes a brand new body, not that old crummy one. Amen? Okay, listen, the dust returns to the earth. Our spirit returns to the Lord. This body is nothing but seed. It's like a seed being planted. Does that make sense? Okay, now, so the Lord himself, now think of Revelation 4. Jesus is on his throne in 5, okay? So the Lord himself who sits at the right hand of God. Now think of the church now. Here we are in Revelation 4. We're in heaven. It says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Descend from heaven. Just like he, remember how Jesus left in Acts chapter, 1 verses 9 through 11? Remember when the resurrected Lord led the disciples out as far as Bethany and he just departed into the heavens, into the clouds? And the angel said, guys, what are you looking up there for? Come on. He's going to come. The same Jesus is going to come back in like manner. So here Jesus at the rapture, he comes back. So the next major prophetic event, nothing else needs to be done, could happen at any minute, is the catching away of the bride of Christ, the church. So the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout that wakes the dead in Christ all over the world. They receive new bodies. We receive, if we're alive then, we receive the new bodies. But do you see the correlation just a little bit between Revelation 4:1 and Thessalonians? Remember what 4:1 is? Was Jesus' voice like a trumpet? Did he say, come up here? I wonder if that's what he does in Thessalonians. You follow me? It's so wild. Now the church age is complete, all right? And the rapture is a mystery. Let me give you the scripture for that. And I'm not through in Thessalonians, so hold on there. 1 Corinthians 15:50, Paul's writing. He says, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So flesh and blood are no value in the kingdom of God. Now here it comes. Behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery is a truth unknown that only can be revealed to the church by God, okay? And so behold, I tell you a mystery. Here it comes. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, suddenly, without warning. Man, believers from all over the world are going to be gone. They'll be gone from this planet. And at the last trumpet, everyone say last trumpet. Last trumpet. That means the church age has ended. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead, those who are asleep, will be raised incorruptible, and we who are alive shall be changed. Meaning we're going to get new bodies instantly. So the rapture is a mystery. What's the mystery? Not everyone on this planet at that time who is a believer will ever die. Does that make sense? In other words, if we're alive, if he came right now, we're alive. So the dead in Christ, do they rise first? They get their glorified bodies, and then we go with them, amen? And we get ours in an instant. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2, when we see him, we will be like him, amen? Well, that's what's going to happen. And so what an incredible revelation. There is a generation that won't experience death. You'll never have a funeral. No one will ever cry at your funeral. You won't get flowers, amen? Now, but here's what I want you to do. Do not confuse the trumpet in 1 Thessalonians 4 and the last trumpet here with, as we study the book of Revelation, with the seven trumpets in Revelation, okay? And there's a lot of teachers that do. No, listen, the seven trumpets of Revelation, when we get to them, each one of those seven trumpets, loved one, has to do with the judgment from God upon a Christ-rejecting world. Amen? Okay, but the last trumpet is the deliverance of the bride of Christ, the catching away of the bride of Christ from this crummy earth. We're going home, man. And that's why that's so important. Now look back at Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be what? There it is. That's the title of the sermon. The church caught up. And we will be caught up, and look, all of the Christians caught up together with them, meaning the ones that came out of the graves, with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? Very important. In the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now listen carefully. The word caught up in Latin is rapturo, okay? Here it's harpazo. And in the Greek here, this word caught up is harpazo, or however you pronounce it. And that word means to be removed violently, not where it would hurt you, but you're gone in an instant. I mean, it's just suddenly, it's to seize or to transport. And that word is used in Acts 8:39. Remember when the Holy Spirit caught up Philip, and then he was found at Azotus? Remember that? The same word. How about in, I don't know, was it Jude 23, when it says snatching them out of the fire, the lost people? That is the exact same word. Or 2 Corinthians 12:2, when Paul was caught up, the same word, caught up into the third heaven and saw things that are not lawful for him to speak. So that word is caught up. It is, we get our word rapture from the Latin Vulgate, if you will, rapturo. Now, look at verse 18 with me. It says, therefore, what's that word? Say it again. Beautiful word. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, loved one, Paul did not say, I'm warning you now. I want you to prepare, because the great tribulation, that seven-year period of time, the greatest horror that's ever come to planet Earth, you've got to prepare for it right now. I want you to buy guns. I want you to store up on ammo. I want you to store up on that food that lasts for 50 years. I want you to go hide in caves and underground bunkers and get an army outfit. And he says, you can't handle the Antichrist. Listen, Paul didn't say that. Paul said, comfort each other with these verses. You know, comfort one another with these verses, he says in the last part. And if you were there, you're not there, but let me read something else. Paul goes on in chapter 5 of Thessalonians, and he says, oh, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you know yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they, not the church, when the unbelieving world, when they, the pronoun is so important, when they, it says, and when they say peace and safety, oh man, everything's great, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Now, and they shall not escape, okay? And then in verse 11, he goes all the way down, and listen to what he says again. Therefore, comfort each other. Build each other up. And that's what we're to do. Loved one, the Lord could take us home any minute. Do you understand? I mean, the rapture is imminent, okay? Now, I don't know the doctrine of the intimate. Thank you. I took speech class when I was in elementary school. Didn't help. Just so I could pronounce words. It could happen, that doctrine, the imminent return, loved one, was the first early church believed that. And it was actually, it was regained after the Reformation period, that doctrine. Jesus could come at any moment. When he's ready, no one can stop him. Did you know that? Nothing can stop it. And until then, we serve the Lord. We work for the Lord. Now, with all that being said, let me just kind of wrap this thing up. And I want to just give you a comparison. I've done this before, but a comparison between the rapture and the second coming. And so in the rapture, Jesus our Lord, he comes in the air. Okay, at the second coming, Jesus comes to the earth. He touches down on the Mount of Olives. In the rapture, Jesus comes for his saints. In the second coming, Jesus comes with his saints. Now, the rapture is suddenly, imminent, any moment, okay? But the second coming of Christ, if we were not raptured and the Antichrist appeared, we would know that there are 7 years. Amen? Okay, so there's a big difference. There's numerous signs that about what's going to happen in those 7 years, but not any for the church. So the rapture has to do with the church. And as we're going to find out when we enter Revelation 6, the second coming has to do with Israel, okay? Now, one more. Only Christians see Jesus at the rapture. No one else. Now, but at the second coming, every eye will see him. Amen? So there's a huge difference between the two. Now, let me give you one more scripture here, Revelation 1:7, about everyone will see our Lord at the second coming. Behold, he is coming, and God can't lie. Jesus is coming one day. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth, everyone on the planet, all the people of the earth, they will mourn. Why? Because of him. Because of him. Every eye will see him, meaning everyone on this planet will see the personal, visible, bodily return of Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone's going to see him. Every eye, every person on this earth at the second coming, they're going to mourn. Man, they are going to wail. They're going to be filled with horror. Why? It's too late. It's too late to be saved. It's too late. So if the rapture occurred today and those that don't know Jesus and they're not saved, they're going to go through the great tribulation period. See, if a person is not saved right now, if you're here, for example, you're listening on the radio, or maybe you're listening live, or you're in a chapel, but you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord now. You've never confessed Jesus be my Lord and believed it in your heart now. If you don't believe Jesus now, in other words, if his first coming hasn't saved you, his second coming will condemn you. So if you don't know the Lord, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and I know the early service, most everyone is always, we're all Christians here in the early service. But if you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, meaning Jesus be my Lord, and you believe that in your heart, if you've never done that, you're not saved. So you right now, if you can make that decision, you can say, yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord. You're not joining the church because you can't join the church. You have to be born again into the church. So if that's you, you're unsure of your salvation, or you just don't know, just listen, you don't have to go to the altar here. You don't have to come down here. Just lift your hand and put it right back down. And that tells me, I see, yes, anyone else say, Bill, I see that hand. God bless you. Anyone else, when I leave here today, I want to know I'm saved. I want to know that I'm a new creation in Christ. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. And I want to know if the rapture occurred or my death occurred, I would instantly go home to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Last call, anyone else before I pray? God bless you. I see that. Father, you've seen the hands that were raised, and their hands is a sign of their faith, saying, I want Jesus to save me. I believe in Jesus. I want him. So those that are lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And if you're listening live and you lifted your hand too, well, then you pray with us as well. Church, help me pray right now. Say, Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven. I want heaven to be my home. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I would confess Jesus as Lord and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. Hallelujah.
Well, we'll return tomorrow with more of Pastor Bill's series, and we hope to see you once again. Thanks, as always, for listening to Love Never Fails. We appreciate you so much. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.